Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is Attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.
You're locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Dan and Mike.
Good pick process on a cloudy day, and that's what we have here.
I'll tell you what, that's why he is the best.
Yeah, he is. He's special.
Now, I know the morning show doesn't feel that way, Diener, and they don't feel that way about Bobby, but he's number one in my book.
We have put our egos away, and Bobby, he just rises to the top.
Exactly.
You know, he's the main guy.
Exactly.
Well, this segment is brought to you by Delta Dental of Kentucky. Our good friends over there, if you need some insurance with vision or if you have tooth problems, you might have some issues with your dental plan.
Do you think I could get a discount? Because about half of mine are plastic.
I think
I ought to get some knocked off the top.
You know, see here, you started another one. Here you go. you started the one about the ticket. Now you're talking about your teeth. What do you think, process?
I mean, hey, the ticket worked, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah. Exactly, Bobby.
Yeah, so, but on the Kim Crawford Wine Celebrity Hotline, Mr. Bert Bertelkamp, the analyst with University of Tennessee and former player. Bert, welcome in.
Thanks for having me. It's an honor to talk to you two guys.
Well, we just
we'll see if you feel the same way when we're done here, Bert.
Well, Bert, I've got to ask you, this is non-scouting, non-player deal, but do you sense that the Tennessee and Kentucky rivalry is coming back? I mean, do you sense that?
Yeah. We've always felt that way down here. I mean, we haven't always played up to par and made it a rivalry, but I think it's definitely a rivalry. I think with Barnes and Calipari, they're big buddies, but they like to beat each other, and we've had some great games. So, oh, yeah, I think. And it all started back when you guys were playing with Coach Mears down here.
That's right.
Yep.
You know, he was dead set on competing with Kentucky, and I think we gave you all as good a game as anybody through the years. So we're proud of being able to play, you know, have a reasonable record against Kentucky, put it that way.
Well, Bert, I think it's more than reasonable, and I think it's due to Coach Barnes. He's kind of turned this deal back into a rivalry. He has a winning record against Kentucky. I think I read it was he's 8-6 since he's been at Tennessee, and he's won three times in Rupp Arena.
Yeah, that's huge. I think prior to that, we'd only won a couple of games in Rupp. So he's definitely energized the program and made us given the Tennessee people a lot to cheer about. And of course, you're measured by how well you play against Kentucky. So that's a focus for us, and we always enjoy it. It's why you come to Tennessee to play big games against Kentucky, frankly.
That's a great attitude. We feel the rivalry, of course. People around here want to say U of L and UK, but we are old school and we understand the intense rivalry with Tennessee and love it, Bert. I think it's great. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, it is great. And, you know, it's carried over into football, unfortunately for us. But it is a big rivalry, and it means a lot. And it means a lot to the SEC when Tennessee and Kentucky have great games.
Absolutely. Well, before we get into systems and how you might play Oscar, let me throw some guys' names out to you and just tell me how they're playing this year. Vescovi, now, has he changed the pronunciation of his name?
Yeah, we pronounced it the wrong way for 2.5 years. And he never said a word about it. You know, he said, I don't care what you call me, but it's actually Vescovi.
Vescovy.
Not Vescovy, but Vescovy.
Huh.
So I go, you know, Bob and I butcher it up, but I think they're pretty used to me butchering up names, but that's what he wants to be called, Vescovy.
Thank
he's
you.
He's having a great year for
us. Yeah, he's leading you in three-point shots, and that really is his bag, isn't it, the three-point shot?
Well, it really is, but he's turned into more of an all-around player this year. You know, he had to play point guard last year out of position. He struggled at times with his quickness or lack of quickness, and the other teams ganging up on him and putting a lot of pressure on him. And he had his ups and downs, but he's worked hard. He's in great shape, and he's always been a really good shooter, but he's passing the ball better. I think his year at the point position's helped him. Now this year he plays a little bit of point, but he's primarily a wing player, a perimeter player, and he's really having a good year. He's a hard-nosed kid. He's team first. He's a good shooter, but he's driving the ball, and his defense has improved. So he's been our most consistent player, I would say, and he has to play well for us to win.
I want to ask you about another player, and that is Fulkerson. I think he's been at Kentucky. I mean, excuse me, Tennessee since you played there. I think Bert, hasn't he? But whenever I look at a box score, he hasn't gotten a lot done. But then he comes to Kentucky and he scores 20. What's his deal?
We can't figure out his deal. He has been so inconsistent, and he'll be. And his ups and downs are very high and very low. And Coach Barnes has called him out here in the last couple of weeks, expecting him to play better. Potentially, I mean, he's shown he can play.
Yeah.
He was all-conference 2 years ago, and he struggled mightily. COVID really affected him last year, and he had an off year. This year, he hadn't been as good as he was his junior year. Or I don't know. I get confused on what he is. He's a super senior, whatever. But 2 years ago, he's not. He's better than he was last year, and he's had some really good games. He had a big double double against Arizona, but he may get 3 points and 2 rebounds. You know, and Rick has really been on him. In fact, it's shown in his minutes played. He's only playing 21 minutes a game in SEC play. And Rick's going with Juroš Plavšić some, and who's struggled as well, but he's played better since SEC play started, and he's getting some of Fulke's minutes.
Yeah. I want to ask about one more individual, and then I know Mike has some questions about how you think Tennessee's going to play Kentucky. And that's Kennedy Chandler, one of the highest-rated players that Tennessee has signed in a long, long time. Number one, how's he playing his freshman year? And number two, how did Tennessee get him away from Memphis with that FedEx NIL money?
That's a question I can't answer. But he's a really good player. He's had some freshman issues, like, you know, we've seen all these freshmen. They have their ups and downs, but he's extremely quick, great ball handler, knows how to play. He doesn't get out of control, and he struggled a little bit in the last couple of games. I think people are getting physical with him some. But he's very talented, and he's very key to our team, you know. And he gets a lot of steals, he gets a lot of assists, and the thing that impresses me the most about him is he plays under control, and he plays at a high level of speed and quickness. But he doesn't leave his feet. He doesn't do dumb things. He doesn't turn the ball over a lot. And he's had a pretty solid season. I think Coach Barnes wants more out of him. And he may have hit a little bit of a wall here the last couple of games, but I look for him to get it back going. He's a very talented player.
Boy, I really liked him, Bert, when I saw you guys play early in the season. And I really liked that kid. I thought, my goodness. But a kid I got to ask you about, because much like Fulkerson, this guy has really hit some big shots against us. Bailey, the lefty.
Yeah, Bailey has really struggled this year. He's only shooting in SEC play. He's only shooting 23%, and he's playing less than 10 minutes. And he's not had a good year so far. And Coach Barnes has kind of shortened the bench a little bit now that we're in SEC play, and Bailey's one of the ones that's kind of been left out. He gets a he'll get a shot to play, but if he doesn't, it seems that if he doesn't make shots, he struggles. And if he makes shots early and hits a couple, then he can really help you. But he struggled this year, frankly, and I'm not sure if it's a confidence issue or what, but he can get it going. He's close to 1,000 points, so he scored. You know, he's been a scorer, but he struggled this year, frankly.
Well, Ziegler, is he a freshman?
Yeah.
He's an impressive.
They got him late, Mike. He was they were over watching one of the AAU tournaments. I think it was in Myrtle Beach or some, maybe in Florida. But anyway, he played really well, and he was a rising senior, and he reclassified, and they signed him, and he showed up. I think it was about the time school's getting ready to start, and wow, what an addition he's been. He's playing a lot. He's playing 22 minutes a game. He's fearless. He's hard-nosed. He's a typical New York-type point guard, and he loves to penetrate, but he can hit three-pointers, and he's one that's not scared of the big stage. He'll show up tomorrow in Rupp and play well. He played well up in – we played in a Thanksgiving deal up in Connecticut at that resort up there. I'm drawing a blank of the name of it, but we played Villanova in North Carolina, and he played great in both those games. So he's a tough-minded – he's a Rick Barnes kind of player, and he's relentless on defense and a really good addition to the team.
Mohican Sun, is that
– That's it.
Yeah, is that where it was?
Sun,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been there a number of times. That's a nice place. It's huge.
It really is a nice place. We had a good trip. We didn't play very well against Villanova, and then we came back and – played really well against North Carolina, so we were 1-1 up there, but it was a good event.
I'm sure you've had a chance to see Kentucky play a couple of times. Give us a little scouting report from your view, Bert.
Well, I think Kentucky's really good. Of course, it starts with the big guy, and since Bernard King, I haven't seen anybody rebound in the SEC like him. What's he averaging, 15 rebounds? And your all's rebounding numbers are scary. And I think that's a big key tomorrow. Can we stay in the game with you? And particularly on the offensive glass, Ojibwe just dominates, unlike any player I've seen in recent years around the basket. I mean, he does whatever he wants. So is Wheeler going to play, or do you know?
They have not announced yet. I would put my chips from the Mohican Sun on the fact that he will play, but it hasn't been announced.
I think he's really good too, and he's a key guy for Kentucky, and he obviously is a great point guard, tough minded. I was really impressed with him at Georgia. He's just a really good player, and then you've got shooters with Grady and Washington and Mintz, and you got veterans. Brooks is a great player, so I think Kentucky's really good, and we'll have to neutralize you guys inside, and that's the key. We've been to our team. If our inside guys show up, we can compete. But if they don't, we struggle. And Kumwa is shown flashes of being really good, and we've already talked about Fulkerson. But those guys have got to somewhat neutralize Kentucky in the paint.
Well, that's where I was going to go with the next question. I believe another – is it Plavic?
Yeah, Plavsic.
Plavsic. You got 6'8", 6'9", 7 foot. You got three big bodies. How do you think Rick will adjust his defense using these bodies, these big bodies, on Oscar?
Well, I'd say Kumwa will be on him first, and then Plavsic will come off the bench and he'll play him. And Plavsic is one, they don't care if he fouls. So he'll come in and he'll be physical and try to he won't be able to push him around, but he'll bang with him and probably get in foul trouble. But and then Fulkerson, I don't know if Fulkerson's physical enough to guard him, but he'll be guarding him some. Typically, Tennessee doesn't double team inside, but that may be different with Oscar. They may run two guys at him as soon as he gets the ball and try to get it out of his hands. But we've been solid defensively. We've been good this year. Particularly on the perimeter, they're good at getting in the passing lanes. They'll and the quickness at guard with Chandler and Ziegler, that's made a big difference as far as ball pressure. that's why I'm wondering if Wheeler plays, that'll really help Kentucky against the pressure. But I think they'll gang up on Oscar and try to keep the ball away from him as best they can.
Bert, last one from me, and we really appreciate your time and your insight. It looks to me like the SEC, basketball-wise, is as strong as it's been in a long time. Do you feel the same way?
Oh, I agree 100%. I think every game's a battle, and there's no gimmicks, really. Vanderbilt's better this year. South Carolina's competitive, and there's some really good teams. I think Auburn's really good, and LSU's good. And well, you all played LSU down there, and they're a tough team. So I think the SEC's really good. Seven or eight teams should get in the tournament.
Yeah, that's going to be very interesting, because on the heels of a two SEC football teams in the playoffs, if you follow that up with six, seven, eight teams in the NCAA, you know, you're making a statement about the league, Bert.
Yeah, I think people around the country are getting tired of hearing about the SEC, I think, but it's a strong league. We got teams have made commitments, or schools have made commitments. They've got top-notch coaches in most instances, and it's really there's more focus at schools that really didn't care that much about basketball through the years, but they care now, and it's reflected in the quality of the teams. Alabama's good. I mean, we got 10 pretty good teams in the league, and several really good ones. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens down the stretch. I think it's going to be a really competitive league season. And if you're over 500 in the league play, you got a pretty good shot of getting in the tournament, I think.
Bert, and we'll let you go on this one, and also thank you for your time. Toughest place in the league now. Take Tennessee and take Kentucky out. The toughest place to play in the league is
Auburn.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. Fans are right on top of you down there, and they're pretty vocal. They're kind of nasty. Would you agree?
Yeah. And Pearl's affected them. You know, he did the same thing here. He energizes the whole community. And like him or not, he's a heck of a coach, and he's got that place. I remember the year before he went there, we played there on senior night, and there wasn't anybody in the arena. It was almost embarrassing that they didn't send off their seniors in a better way. And then they got Pearl, and they're filled up the very next year. It's just a total change, and it's a tough place to play. And of course, them having a really good team makes it even tougher. But their fans and the students on that one side, they're right on top of you. So I'd have to go with Auburn. Florida used to be really tough. I don't think it's as tough as it used to be, but I'd go with Auburn.
Yeah, you mentioned Pearl and bringing the program at Auburn back. The whole league has better coaching. But what was it that Pearl, what kind of guy was he at Tennessee? Did he go out and reach out to the fans? Did he promote? Is that how he got energy back into the arena?
Oh, yeah. He promoted from day one when he got here. In fact, I was involved with the United Way, and our campaign was going on in the fall before his first year. And we did a United Way event out at the UPS terminal, which is a big facility here in town, and they told us, and Pearl wanted to go, and he gave a talk, and the driver, he said, you got to be finished at a certain time. I think it was at 7:30 or 8 o'clock in the morning, because the drivers want to get out on the routes. And Pearl just had the whole terminal shut down, talking about basketball, talking about what he was going to do. And he was also selling tickets, everywhere he went. But he energized the community, and then he would go in the dorms. He'd eat lunch in the lunch rooms in the dorms, and try to get the kids to come to the games. He'd buy pizzas for them. I mean, he just made a major effort to get people energized again about Tennessee. And sure enough, for a while people thought Thompson Bowling was kind of an albatross. You know, you got this big arena, and it's a third full or half full, and Pearl filled it up almost overnight. It was unbelievable, and he's done the same thing at Auburn.
Yes, he has, and it's been fun, and it's always good when those teams elevate their game, those being the non-Kentucky, the non-Tennessee, and who's always been at the top of the league for the most part. But, Bert, thanks for your time, buddy, and drag your partner with you, would you please? I still have that bobblehead that you and Kessling signed. The Kettering, Ohio Flash.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, Kessling's a Hall of Famer, isn't he?
Yes, sir.
He's a beauty.
He and I'll be cruising up the interstate talking about you guys.
They've even named, you know, something around in Kettering for him, you know, the Kessling Highway or whatever it is. Now, he's a big guy. He's a big guy in Kettering, Ohio. Bert, see you tomorrow, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Thanks.
All right, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Bert. We appreciate it.
A texter. I don't know where a texter got this, but the SEC is having a special year. It's not a special conference. It is, too. I mean, come on. You think the ACC is not a special conference, even though they're down?
Yeah.
They are special.
Yeah.
You know, being cyclical.
Bert made a real good point, and that was that basketball really didn't mean a whole lot in the SEC.
For a long time.
For a long,
except
long time.
Except at the top. Vandy, Tennessee, Kentucky.
Yeah, exactly. And now now all of these teams are good, and they all want to compete in basketball. And the texter is right. They are having a special year. But I don't think you can discount that this won't happen again and again and again.
Well, I you know, Bert mentioned Florida, where it used to be a really tough place to play.
Yep. Gator Alley, I believe.
That's where we
referred to it.
No, not now.
Oh, really?
That's where we played.
We played at Gator Alley.
Right,
yeah.
Right. We played in the Gator Alley. But, you know, they won back-to-back championships.
I believe I heard that.
Yeah.
A guy named Billy Donovan
slipped in. But how many leagues have a team that's won back-to-back championships?
Yeah, well, outside of the Conference of Champions, UCLA, not very many.
That's right.
Not very many.
Not many in this era, right?
Bobby, have we heard anything about Cal's press conference?
No, there was a player up there earlier, but Coach Cal is fashionably late, as always. So
okay.
We'll see what happens.
All right. Well, should we take a break now
in case he
comes up? Hey, at Delta Dental of Kentucky, they believe everyone deserves a healthy and happy smile. Whether you're looking for dental coverage for your employees or an individual or family policy, Delta Dental of Kentucky has you covered with a nationwide network of dentists. Plus, they offer Delta Vision, a comprehensive vision plan through VSP. Enrolling in a dental or vision plan is easy. Call 1-800-955-2030. That's 1-800-955-2030, or visit kentucky.deltadental.com.
Keep it locked on Stockton Mortgage Sports Talk with Dan Issel and Mike Pratt on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Here's Dan and Mike.
Well, our friend Crean just stepped in to tell us where that text came from. Evidently, Lachlan McLean, who
is Dr. Doom,
is afraid to come on with us. We invited him to come on. That's who I guess we replaced here. But I guess when Kentucky won 10 games 3 or 4 years ago, his response was it was a special team, not a special program, which, of course, he was dead wrong because Kentucky won 10 games again this year, but that must be the reference that the texter was coming from. Hey, life can come at you fast. Unanticipated debts, student loans, that credit card you're chipping away at. With home values on the rise in most areas, now may be the time to do a cash out refinance on your mortgage. You may have more equity in your home than you think. And with historically low rates here for now, don't miss out on the opportunity to utilize your home's equity to knock out some of those high interest debts that weigh you down. Get started with our favorite home loan loan folks at Stockton Mortgage. Just go to Stockton.com. That's Stockton.com. NMLS 8259. NMLS ConsumerAccess.org. Equal housing lender.
You did that well, and I knew you would, because that will lead me into continued discussion about Bruce Pearl. Okay, Bert Bertelkamp, who played at Tennessee, has done the
How long? Radio. I don't recognize that name. How long ago did
he played
Bert
with Bernie and Ernie?
Oh, okay. Yeah, played with Bernie and Ernie. So a while ago.
Yeah. So anyway, we talked about Pearl and a couple texters, one in particular. Don't like Pearl, think he's a crook. Next text from that texter. Pearl thinks rules were made to be broken. It's in his genes. It's part of him. No good.
Well, yeah, they might have a point. But somehow he always seems to slip under the radar, and somebody else takes the fall.
Well, you know, he's a lovable con.
Yeah.
I mean, all college coaches, maybe pro too, you can speak to this. You've got to play some games with players. Yeah, you know, maybe con is too strong, but you got to play a few games, pump them up. How do you get them to do what you want them to do as far as sharing the ball and other things? I mean, coaching's about moving people, empowering people. There's a little con in that empowering piece.
Would that carry over to dealing with the public?
Absolutely.
And more importantly, dealing with the media.
Those last two may be...
more than the players.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
Because you do things behind closed doors. I remember somebody telling me the story about Pitino when he was at Kentucky. And he told his guys, look, you know what I say in here is what is real. What I stay in here, say it here, stays in here. It's real. Don't believe any of that stuff that's in the newspaper, because I'm going to go out and say something else.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, he's not alone. He's not the first coach that ever did
everybody,
that, right?
Everybody does that.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we got to give our boy Bruce Pearl a little, you know, maybe.
Well, no matter how what rules he has broken and how many people he has conned, I do know one thing about Bruce Pearl. He can coach.
Yep.
He can coach.
Well, I go back and think about all the coaches I've seen and I've heard talk. And I think when you look at a coach, all you got to look at is, are they playing hard, his team? And are they sharing the ball? Think about that.
Yeah.
If you play hard, don't take a possession off.
Yep.
You play as hard.
Yep.
Okay. And then you share the ball. If you share the ball, the right shots will come up. And I'm not even talking about offense. Offense will take care of itself if you do those two things. Defense will take care of itself. Nolan Richardson was the first guy that told me when I was doing TV and did an Arkansas game. He told me, he says, look, he said, my guys play hard. And they did.
And they did. Yeah, absolutely.
And he said, I want to.
What they call it, 40 minutes of hell?
Yep.
Yep.
And he said, I'm going to take a guy out if you won't share the ball.
Hmm.
He said, so sharing the ball and playing hard. And,
yep.
And I'll never forget that. And I've plugged it into other coaches that I've heard over the years talk. And, hey, you know, that's it.
Really, Mike, when it comes right down to it, as a coach at any level, high school, college, pro, the only hammer a coach has is playing time.
That's right. The pine over there.
He can talk till he's blue in the face. She can talk till she's blue in the face. But it's the playing time. That's the hammer, because nobody wants to sit on the bench. Everybody wants to be out on the court.
Yeah, it's always been that way. And some schools have shorter benches, or they even have shorter talent lines, okay? So they might have six or maybe seven, okay, that a non-blue blood program will help. But I watched Indiana. They came off the bench with nine guys, you know? And so evidently Woodson trusts those guys, or he wouldn't put them in. because Indiana shouldn't be in a situation where they have to put guys who are marginal. They got to get some better talent. Yeah, I like this Galloway kid for Indiana. He came off the bench. I like him a lot.
And I don't think you have to have a deep bench in college basketball. I really don't.
Well, you got four media timeouts to have. That's
exactly where I was going, Mike. You play 40 minutes a game.
Yep.
You have all these timeouts. You have halftime. And these are 19, 20, 21-year-old kids who are in unbelievable physical condition. You can't tell me that they can't play 35 minutes a game, 36 minutes a game. And so as a result, you shouldn't have to have a very deep bench.
Well, I think coaches try to make sure that they're getting from their players maximum effort. So they talk about, look, give me 25, 30 minutes. We got to share the minutes. You just play hard. If you don't play hard, you sit down. But you play hard for 30 minutes, and then I'm going to give you a blow. Or some, because you're going to get the TV timeouts.
Yeah.
You know,
when I was coaching and when I played in Denver, we had this rule. You get tired, you take yourself out, you can put yourself back in when you're ready to go. If I take you out, talking about the coach, then you sit there till I put you back in.
Yep.
And so, again, we're talking about the playing time hammer. But Doug was like that. He, if you raised your hand, said, I need a blow, you go over and sit down. As soon as you were ready to play, you just got up and went to the scorers table.
You picked who you wanted to sub for.
Well, you knew who came in for you. You know who was coming. But, yeah, and I thought that was a great rule. If you get tired, you take yourself out, then you can put yourself back in. But if I take you out, you can't go back in till I say so.
Well, going back to what I said about sharing the ball and playing hard. You know, last year Kentucky's team didn't do those two things. And I see a lot of that in U of L right now. They're not in sync together. It doesn't look like they – not everyone, but it looks like they struggle with the playing hard piece of it. And, man, they've never seen a shot they don't like. But are you a shooter or are you a maker?
What do you think? I heard after – on the way home yesterday, I heard Nick and Process.
Nicky V.
Nicky V and Process had the show for a while before Bob came on. And Process was as usual, this team stinks and they can't do anything. And I'm not so sure he's not right. But anyway, Nicky V was talking about this Curry kid and that's the new light. That's the new hope. Do you know until that game the other day, he was averaging less than 3 points a game? Now, next game, what do you expect? Do you expect him to go back?
26 or something?
He won't go back to 2.6, but I don't know if you can count on him getting over 20 points every game either. So
Pittsburgh will be a tough matchup for U of L because Pittsburgh thought they should have won that first game.
Yeah.
You know, and they need a W, too. U of L needs a W. So it'll be an interesting game. But going to the Kentucky game, here's – the question I have for you, and here's how I see Kentucky's going to come out and do all what they do defensively. They're going to switch, and Oscar's going to have to play at the low post. And, I mean, they're going to play their typical straight-up man-to-man, no zone. Now, Rick Barnes at Tennessee might come in and throw some zone at you, might be in and out of a zone. Okay, particularly if Oscar's having his way and he doesn't want a double team. And I think that's where the key to this game is, and you chime in after I give my dissertation. How Tennessee handles Oscar, okay? And first of all, Kentucky's got to get in transition. Tennessee wants to run too, but Kentucky's got to be in transition. Then you've got to find touches for Oscar, either outside, in, and back out. So you go in, you make the defense react,
right.
You kick it back out. You got some shooters. If Kentucky's hitting the shots, I think they're going to get some shots because of the way Tennessee might play Oscar. But Oscar's got to realize that whatever double team is coming from wherever, he's got to move that ball out quick or make his move quick.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole key. You can't, and he's done a much better job. Early in the year, you could almost see the wheels turning. You know, what should I do? Which drop step should I use? Should I cut? And lately, it's been smoother. He's really play offensively. He's been great rebounding all year long, but offensively, he's really improved. I don't know, Mike. I watched this Tennessee team, and I thought they were playing better earlier in the year.
No question.
Than they are right now. And when Bert was on, he kind of explained why. They've got several people that aren't playing as well as they've played in the past. Fulkerson, Bailey, Chandler might have hit the freshman wall a little bit, and Barnes wants more out of him. I think if Kentucky just comes out and plays with effort, I think they win this game.
Well, I think effort is a big part, yes. But I think from a scouting standpoint, I'm very interested to see, because remember when Notre Dame beat Kentucky? Everybody said that's a blueprint to beat Kentucky.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Who else has done that?
Nobody.
Okay. LSU tried it. They tried really sloughing, packing the paint on Oscar. And then they got away from it. Why? Because Oscar got in foul trouble.
Yeah.
You didn't need to do that.
Right. Right. No, I thought Notre Dame played Kentucky the way you have to play them defensively to minimize again, it's got to be you basically know what Oscar's going to give you. Now they might take him away, and those numbers might decrease. You can understand that. You know what Wheeler is going to give you if he plays. You know what Ty is going to give you. It's those other guys that you know that are in and out that play great one game and don't show up the next. That's the key.
To your point, if Grady gets the kickouts for the open shots or gets it in transition, he's got to knock some down.
Absolutely,
he can't be 0-for-7.
1-for-10. He's okay. One for his last 10.
So,
and remember, I mean, he's, I think, if I'm not mistaken, he came out the second half of the LSU game, made his first 4 3-pointers, did he not?
0-for-7 in the first, 4-for-4 in the second,
and then he
didn't get a shot in the last 13 minutes.
He can't be that streaky. Okay. He can't be that streaky.
Well, Keon is the same way. Okay.
Yeah.
And here you have a junior and a fifth year grad transfer, and these guys are streaky. I mean, they've got to get out of that if Kentucky's going to make a run here in the year. They've got to get out of it. I think a neat matchup is going to be whoever might be the Ziegler kid, according to Bert. He's quick and fast. And Chandler, I don't think he can. I don't think the freshman can stay with Wheeler if he plays. But the other kid, Ziegler, might be an interesting matchup. And if they don't have a matchup at the point, then they're going to have to go zone. Tennessee, going to have to go zone,
right?
Because you got to keep Wheeler out of the paint on a consistent basis. He's going to get in there sometimes, but you just can't let him run wild.
Why do you think Wheeler will play? Have your moles come up and informed
you? Moles have come
your
up.
Moles have told you that Wheeler's going to play? Okay. All right.
You like that, don't you?
Yeah. I love it. Hey, let me tell you about my friends at Bear Nose Pizza. Has the pizza arrived yet, Avery? Has the pizza gotten here yet? No pizza yet. Well, it'll be here, and as soon as I find the card, I'll be able to tell you something about it. There are 14 area locations in Kentuckiana. It's my favorite spot to watch the games, and there'll be some great games on this weekend. Great food, great drinks, and great people. Bear Nose has you covered for lunch or dinner. All Bear Nose, now delivering alcohol, carry out and delivery to your home. Support your local businesses. Bear Nose, like everybody else, is now hiring all positions. Yeah, it's that good. Bear Nose Pizza.
Couple NBA things to talk about. Our boy, Ben Simmons, they still can't find a home for him.
Yeah.
And I was reading an article, and the article basically said what we've been saying since training camp. They want a lot for this kid. They want a lot.
Yeah, and they can't find it.
They can't find it.
They can't find it. And so it looks like to me, I mean, Philadelphia's playing pretty well without him. It's not not like, you know, they're 10 games under 500 and they're not going to make the playoffs without him. So they can sit and just wait. I don't think the further we get from him playing, Michael, I think the less they can expect in return. But they've put their heels in the ground and they said, we're not trading him till we get something that they think is commensurate, which is a top 25 player. Is that what I've read?
Plus a pick.
Yeah, yeah. They ain't getting that for Ben Simmons. Well, but Ben's not playing there now. They had a meeting.
At a restaurant in downtown Philly.
Okay, tell us the story.
Well, the agent, which is Clutch, which is LeBron's agency.
Yeah.
Clutch Sports, Rich Paul. Rich Paul was LeBron's guy. So coming out of the restaurant luncheon, everybody thought it was very professional, and everybody liked everybody, you know, kissy-kissy.
What'd they have to eat? Philly cheesesteaks?
Probably.
Yeah.
I would imagine the expense account got hit pretty hard. But Maury, the GM,
yes,
he reiterated the franchise's stance that it won't make a Simmons trade unless it believes the return gives it a chance to compete for a championship. Man, that's strong.
Yeah, I can't remember. The article I read said they were looking for either a top 15 or a top 25 player in the league, and that ain't going to happen.
Did you see they've added Tobias Harris to sweeten the pot? I don't know what kind of sweetener they're taking. That doesn't sweeten the pot for anybody. Nobody's like, oh, man, you put Tobias Harris in the deal. Oh, that's it.
It's contracts.
I know
contracts.
It is.
That's all it is. But the Sixers, they won 7 straight before they lost to Charlotte the other night. So, I mean, yeah, you're right. They've done pretty well.
The big fella, Embiid, I think he went like 7 or 8 games where he scored 30-plus points.
Everybody talks about Kevin Durant, and I really enjoy Kevin Durant. Make no mistake about it. But Embiid's pretty good.
Yeah.
He might be a nutcase off the floor. I don't know. It seems like, you know, there's always some issues, kind of drama. But, man, can he play.
Let me ask you this question.
Okay.
Who, and Bobby, you can chime in here. Has Cal not come up yet?
Fashionably late.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, it's we won't hear Cal in our show then.
No.
The Golden State Warriors, who in your estimation, now that Klay Thompson is back, who is the MVP of the Golden State Warriors?
Steph, right? I mean, it's the obvious answer, but I feel like it's got to be.
Yeah, if it was obvious, we wouldn't have brought it up.
Cal's finally up, by the way.
Well, what do you want to do? By the way, the answer is Draymond Green.
I love Draymond Green.
Draymond Green has been out for the last several weeks, and the Warriors have gone right in the tank. So,
and that's the problem with him. I like the way he plays, brings a lot to the table, but he gets hurt a lot.
Yeah, yeah. What do you want to do, Bobby?
I'd say let's put a Cal on.
Okay. All right. Well, he'll be so that's the end of our show.
Probably.
Have a great weekend, everybody. And now, direct from Lexington, Kentucky, John Calipari.
We had David Scott. We had Martin Newton. We had Dwayne Peavy. All these guys look and say, look, I like what I'm doing, but this is all consuming. And when you have a young family, you start making decisions. And I support whatever he does the rest of his life. He's going to have me in his corner, his family. And family's not a one-way deal. Like, what you can do for me, we're family. But when it's my time, this guy has carried the ball for me. He has been the bad guy so that every once in a while I could be the good guy. So we're going to miss him. Deb's going to step in his shoes. And you've got TJ here. So it's going to be covered. But it's hard to replace a guy like Eric. But you know what? This is all part of the growth of individual people. And so I'm happy for him.
Thanks, Coach. I appreciate that. Now we'll get right into questions. Go ahead. John Hale, let's start with you.
Cal, any update on Xavier? Did he practice yesterday? Do you think he's going to practice today?
He did practice yesterday.
Guys.
Do you think that means he's going to play tomorrow?
My guess is, unless something happens today in practice, that he'll be available tomorrow.
John Wong?
John, I watched that video that you made imploring everybody to wear KN95 masks. And I thought you did a good job, but you look around Rupp Arena and you see less than half the people wearing masks of any kind. Why did you feel compelled to kind of weigh in on a topic that you knew would be controversial or maybe even a little bit divisive?
I don't know what divisive, but I knew it would make people mad at me. But yeah, I've had a lot of people mad at me and for a long time, and so I'm fine with that. But here's what happened. I called Dr. Capiluto. I said, talk to me about what's happening on this campus and what do you think, what other measures we can take to mitigate. He said, this thing you really don't know, but I would guess the next 2 to 3 weeks, it's going to be hot. And then our hope is it goes down. And so I said, well, you know, we're boosted, we're vaccinated, we're mitigating. I said, what else? He said, KN95 mask would be the best. And if you can convince them to wear it, I think that will do what it can to help. Now, that's why I said it. We all, staff and players, have the KN95s. Ellen ordered online. And you're right. You go into Rupp. I'm not going to mandate masks. I'm saying, let's do this collectively for our state. Now, 91% of the faculty and staff and students are vaccinated on this campus, which means if they get it, they're not going to get a major issue. But you still don't want them to get it because there's so much we don't know about this thing. But it's blowing through our state right now. It is. And wearing a mask, being vaccinated, having a booster helps. And it helps protect everybody. Now, that may make you mad. It ain't political. I'm not, no one really knows. I've never talked about where I am politically. Everybody thinks they know, but they don't know. This isn't political. This is more, let's stay safe. Somebody told me they got mad because I said 2 weeks. I only said that because everybody's saying it's going to be hot. How about this? Maybe it's 3 weeks. Maybe it's 1 week and we see a decline and we're able to move back. But that was my reasoning. And I knew it would make some people mad, but I think it was the right thing to say. Not trying to aggravate anybody. I'm not trying to play politics. Just trying to keep people safe.
You think people will listen to you?
Well, we beat Vandy, so they'll probably listen more.
Tom Tucker, go ahead.
Cal, what do you, with Xavier likely coming back, what do you think was the biggest benefit to Ty of this time where, and he talked about maybe growing more comfortable and hearing from teammates, hey, you have a voice too, you could step up. He's playing with so many veterans. What do you think was the biggest benefit of this week or so that he had to be kind of in charge?
Made him more aggressive. Can't be afraid to make errors. You're not being taken out for missed shots. If you don't work, if you don't sprint, if you don't attempt a rebound, if you get absolutely bullied, you're coming out. Not because you make an aggressive play and the ball doesn't go in. You'll come out for not shooting balls more than you will for missing shots. You want to talk, Ty, what about Davion? Davion has played out of his mind. And there's one guy late in the game that I would say I'm really comfortable with shooting the ball, and it would be him. But he's fighting. He fights the post. You know, he'll make a couple plays a half where he can't help himself. He'll just come down, go baseline, and look away, throw one through four guys late. One or two a half, I just got to accept. But the rest of the time, he's doing all the right stuff. engaged in the practice plan, engaged in the scouting report. Now you have he and Ty elevated. Hopefully it helps our team.
John Clay, you're next.
John, your friend Rick Barnes has had some pretty good success over up the last two or three years here. Has there been a thread to those games?
John, you kind of had an echo. So I think you said Rick has had some success here, and he has. Right. His teams are physical. They're well coached. Their shot selection, their ability to rebound. When you see it's a cross-body blockout. I mean, they're coming at bodies, and that's been his game. If you're not ready to physically play, you'll stand out in this game. Everybody in the gym will say, get him out. Can't play in this game. It's too physical. But he's got good players. He always has had good players. Like I told him, he's done yeoman's work, and now, you guys know I hate playing friends, but, it's the next game, so let's play it.
Aaron Tipton, back to you and John Hale.
Yeah, John, to follow up on that, Tennessee's won the last two here. Teams don't win three in a row at Kentucky very often. What do you think of that as maybe a motivating factor for your guys to prevent that kind of history?
If I had a veteran team that had been through two of those, I would say, yeah. If I ask this team, how many games has Tennessee won in a row in our building, they'll say, I have no idea. So it's kind of a different deal. It's like this game's a rivalry. Well, they haven't been here. And most of the games that are rivalries are more a rivalry on the other side than with us. Just how it is. This game, I think they understand. These are two good teams. Last year, I think we've had some success up there, maybe.
Yes. Yes.
I would know. But he's a good coach. It's going to be a war. It will not be won in the first 5 minutes unless they're on absolute fire. It'll be a 40-minute who has it last kind of game. Now, let me say this to our fans. Get there early so we don't have all the complaints. And we'll make sure Shaden is on the court working out. And you could say, I saw Shaden. And it'll be like, what is that book? Where's Waldo? You could say, where's Shaden? I saw him. He was on the court. I was down there watching him warm up.
One other thing, John, you said the game is going to be not a first-round knockout. Where do you think you guys are in terms of late-game execution and keeping poised and so on?
Well, we've really been working on it, so it showed that last game, the work we put in. I think it was 16-0 in 4 minutes. So the job I've done to teach them the last 4 minutes has been really good. Whatever I was doing, I better try something different. But that's why you need to be in good games, physical games, games that you got to finish off at the end, games on the road where you got to finish off at the end. These are all experiences for us. Just like I don't want players to do this game to game. You want to know, are we getting better as a team? Are we finishing better? Yeah, you want to win every game you play, but you can't put the weight of the world on one game because it's a long season. You're seeing a lot of people now getting beat. You're seeing scores that shouldn't be close that are really close because we're in the middle of conference play. Conference play is way different.
John Hale, back to
Kyle. Kyle, I think you only have maybe three or four games left that aren't against top 50 teams. Do you think your guys are ready for this kind of gauntlet that's coming up?
That's a great thing about playing the games. We're going to find out. I'm worried about one game, Saturday at 1. How do we play in this game? That's the only thing I'm focused on. I don't even know who the next game is. I know it's hard because everybody's told me your next four games are a gauntlet. but I'll figure out after 3 o'clock who's the next game.
Kyle Tucker.
Kyle, you kind of made the joke about Shaden working out. At Vandy, he was obviously there with you. It looked like he went through pretty much the whole pregame routine, even the stretching. Is some of that getting him acclimated? And also, I guess he counts against, you know, if you get down to some situation, the seven healthy scholarship players, I guess he counts against that for you all in a pinch like that.
I don't know. I mean, if he's not ready to play, I would not put him out there. I mean, I would say, come on, this kid just came here. How do you make us, you know, that you can't do that to the kid unless he's ready. If he's ready, I say, let's go. But he practiced yesterday. He's going to practice today.
Are you ready for a job that gets you more? UPS is hiring now. As a warehouse worker, you'll earn up to $21 per hour, and you might even be eligible for a program that helps you with thousands of dollars for college, in many cases tuition-free. Search and apply now at upsjobsky.com.
Card Nation, this is attorney Alex White with SueDistractedDriver.com. Our law firm is a team of dedicated attorneys ready to fight for you. If you get injured because of someone else's negligence, their insurance company already has a legal team, and now so do you. If you or a friend or loved one are injured, find your attorney at SueDistractedDriver.com.
This is an advertisement.